Okay, first reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. The background is that shortly after the return of Israel from exile in Babylon, the people were troubled by the ineffectiveness of their fasts. God reminds them that outward observance is no substitute for genuine fasting that results in acts of justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and clothing the naked. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. If day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw me near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that you choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush, and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then shall you call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of the Lord. We now read responsively from Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 10. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they are their desire on their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
The gospel this morning is from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Complete darkness. It's hard to experience complete darkness these days. City streets illumine from dusk until dawn. And we summon the light with a simple flip of a switch. With all these lights at our disposal, the night sky fills with a blanket of navy blue and black, but we cannot see it, for the glow of the lights surround it. We cannot see the sparkling stars or the glow of the moon as it rises and sets, but it signals the end of the day. Even the night sky becomes animated with the Creator's paintbrush as the northern lights are applied on this cosmic canvas. And the glow of this masterpiece vanishes so quickly as the night sky changes right before us. Even small lights light our way for those late night trips to the bathroom or for a drink of water. Lights surround us. When I was a child, we had one exterior light that lit the way to the barn, where a handful of sheep and cows and a pony cozied up for the night, along with a barn full of cats who lay together in the bales of straw and hay. The barn light was the only light within a mile or two to the location of the next farm over. Even then, darkness was not something to be feared, but something to be enveloped in until the light of morning. Darkness brought the chirping of frogs and crickets. Darkness brought the glistening dew. But I didn't stay awake long enough to gaze at those evening stars. Instead, as a morning person, my dad and I were the only two awake in the early morning hours to view the rising of the sun and the fading of the stars. I remember several occasions when Dad would come and wake me up on a summer morning, and we would get a glimpse of the silent light show that was parallel to none. He with his cup of coffee and me with my cup of cocoa, we would go out into the day and see the awakening of creation all before anyone else from the household had stirred. In Scripture, darkness is often a symbol for the silence of God. Light, then, is the opposite, a sign of God's action, or at least of God's presence. Think about the star that led the way for the shepherds to find a newborn Jesus in the manger. Recall the glow surrounding Jesus when he was transfigured before the disciples who stood blinded in awe. Remember the blinding light that knocked Apostle Paul down and allowed him to completely change course and become one of the greatest lights for Jesus in generations. There's nothing inherently bad or scary about darkness, but as a metaphor, it has been used time and again to contrast good versus evil. From movies like Batman to Star Wars, or old cowboy shows where the bad guy wore a black hat, and of course the good guy wore a white hat. In books and movies, darkness often says so much about a character, their motives, and their morality. Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew and from the prophet Isaiah both mention darkness and light. These metaphors hold power. We sometimes use these metaphors of darkness and light to describe the presence or absence of God. So today, I prefer to equate light with imagination and darkness with a lack of that holy imagination. Today, there is a presence of darkness in this world, marked by a lack of imagination that seeks to move this world into despair, into a gloom and doom kind of thinking. It's a kind of darkness that would lead some to think in terms of lack, in terms of scarcity. When we give in to this focus of scarcity and lack, fear sets in, and what results are well-meaning people like you and me, who take more than we need, hoard resources, or isolate ourselves, or just hunker down and take shelter from the storm around us. The darkness around us may lure us in an us versus them mentality, categorizing our neighbors into tiny, bite-sized, one-dimensional caricatures. But that's not what Jesus wants for us. Many have a sense of the darkness around us in a time in history when chaos seems to be around every corner, where political news fills the airwaves and threats to safety and security abound. Darkness is everywhere, if that's all that we're looking for. But Jesus reminds us that we are the light. Jesus did not say that someday we would be the light. Jesus did not say that only if we get it all right, then we'll be the light of the world. No, Jesus said we already are the light of the world. You and I are already the salt of the earth. You and me, and all of us who aspire to follow the light of God, but also have an imagination big enough to imagine what God might make possible for God's people. Jesus said that he did not come to abolish the law, but came to fulfill it. That is, to interpret it, to make it accessible, to shine a light upon the law. He did this so that we might not see the law as a burden, but as a gift, as a light to the world that needs to step out of narrow categories and tiny boxes to see the many, many ways that God is in fact working in this world. In a time in history where discord abounds in this country and abroad, we cannot sink into despair. It is simply not an option. Jesus proclaims that as his followers, there is already a spotlight on us. People are watching. They're watching to see what the children of light are going to do next. So, what will we do next? We will act like the disciples of Jesus that we are. We will shine, dance in the light, do good, love even when it's hard. Be kind, especially when it's hard. Be strong, even when we feel like hunkering down and pulling the blankets up over our heads. Why? Because Jesus says that we are the light. If we as people of God have one weakness, it is that we may have too small of an imagination of what God can be up to if only we imagine with God. When we allow the light of Christ to shine through us, and even sometimes in spite of us, we can face the darkness not with fear, but with wonder and strength and maybe even gratitude. Because once we face the darkness, it loses its power completely. And we find that the darkness is not scary at all. So, instead of overthinking things this week, I ask you to join me to simply be it, to be salt, to be light. In every context, in every location, in every relationship, in everything that God has set before you and before me, together let's be it. Be salt, be light. What that looks like for you and me may be different, but it always involves allowing for the imagination of God to expand the ways that we see the world and ourselves and our neighbors and especially our enemies. It involves living into our God-given gifts and talents. These gifts were given to us for such a time as this. So whatever that looks like for you and for me, bring it. Bring your love, your gift, your compassion, and your determination to this world, and I will bring mine. Bring your power, your insight, your gentle spirit, your dreams, and I will bring mine too. Together, let's trust that God, who is our constant companion and guide, giver of dreams, artist of the skies, creator of light and tamer of the darkness, will illumine our path as we bring this message of God's pervasive love to all the world. Please pray with me. Creator God, ignite our imagination together as your people. Help us to see the ways in which we can grow beyond our own understanding and love this world in so many ways. In the name of Jesus, we pray.